There's the commercial. I did pretty good, didn't I? Didn't forget. Exodus chapter 33. I want to begin reading in verse... But I want to try to, for the sake of time, I want to pull us into this text if I could. Many of us probably know where this is at, but just in case, I want to refresh our memory. Moses, the man of God, who's bringing those Jews from Egypt to the promised land, has been up on top of the mount. And God has given him the Ten Commandments. He's pretty excited. He has got the tablets and he begins to make his descent. And of course, we know the story. As he makes his descent, he hears a commotion. He hears a bunch of what he thought was a tumult, a riot. But as he got closer, he saw all his friends and all of those folks that said they was leaving Egypt to go worship their God. They were dancing, the Bible says, naked around a golden calf. They were giving glory to some idol. We know the story. Moses is angered. He throws down the Ten Commandments and they break. This is immediately after all of that has taken place. Let's begin reading in verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Father, Lord, I pray that you would touch your unprofitable servant tonight. And Lord, as we break open the word of life, Lord, I pray that somehow, Lord, you'd get glory in the preaching and the singing tonight, Lord. And Father, we're just feeble servants, Lord, trying to promote you. So Lord, touch your servant. Give unction, Lord, not for the parading of the flesh, but Lord, touch us so we can be better for coming. Holy Ghost, unveil the scriptures like only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Moses, the servant of God. I'm glad Moses made it to the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Moses did what he did by faith. He's a man of faith. But we jumped into the life of a man by the name of Moses. He has come to the place in his life where he's reached a dark hour. I said he came down to a group of people who said that when they left the world, they was going out there to worship God. And now all of those folks that He left with are dancing around a golden calf. It's a dark day in the life of Moses. He is, if you will, feels all alone in his journey to the promised land. And I'll promise you, if you're living in the same world I'm living in, it's a dark day in which we're living in. A dark day, a dark hour where we're forsaking all of what we have been brought up into in this old time of Christianity. We're seeing things done that we've never saw. Moses is faced with the dark hour just like we're faced with the dark hour. Preachers tonight and Christians and deacons and Sunday school teachers, we're walking on eggshells because everybody's so offended so easily because of the dark day in which we live. And Moses was faced with the dark hour. You'll notice in verse 12, Moses was faced with a disappointing hour. He said in verse 12, look at the prayer. He says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, Thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and Thou hast not let me know whom Thou wilt send with me. Yet Thou hast said, I know Thee by name, and Thou hast also found grace in my sight. He's disappointed. You can hear the frustration in Moses' voice as he tells God, You're the one that's brought us out here. See, I told you this wasn't going to be good. I told you that they was a ruthless crowd. You can hear it as he uses that three-lettered word, see. I know a lot about that three-lettered word, see. Georgia has not been good to me. I've gotten several tickets in this state. Them Georgia State Troopers do their job. And they ought to pave this place with gold, as many tickets as I've received. Now, I try not to be a lawbreaker, but preachers are always in a hurry. Except when they get to preaching, right? When they're driving, they're fast, but when they're preaching, they're slow. But I was going through Macon, Georgia. And I mean, we were late, and I had to make tracks, and I was driving way over the speed limit. We spent 2.5 hours in a traffic jam. My air conditioner stopped working. And I saw a little break up in the traffic, and a Cadillac, probably a Church of God preacher, went by me at 100 miles an hour. And I said, right there's my ticket out of there. So I got behind him and followed him as fast as I could. And my wife looked at me and she said, honey, you better slow down. And I looked at her like every good Baptist man does. I told her to hush. Because I was the captain of this ship. I'm the head of this household. You don't tell me when we're going too fast. And by the time I spit that out, a blue light began to flash in my rearview mirror. And he didn't just come up alongside of me. He pointed me to the shoulder of the road. I pulled over. He got out. Walked over there. I rolled my window down and he said, get out of that car. I mean, he walked me back to the back of my wheel. He was driving a Subaru back then. Boy, he looked at me and he started to write up tickets for everything. Things I don't even think was against the law. But he looked mad enough. He wrote me up for being from Michigan. I mean, he just wrote me up a Yankee right there. I mean, it was $489. I sat down in my seat and my wife looked at me and she said, see, now we're going to pay higher premiums on our insurance. Now everything's going to be... I know frustration when I hear it. And Moses tells God, see, you told us to come out here. I promise you tonight, behind all the smiles and the handshakes, behind all of that stuff, that facade, there's some disappointments in this room. There's probably disappointed mothers and disappointed fathers and disappointed missionaries. Disappointments come. All of us have experienced disappointments. Things don't turn out the way we hope that they turn out. Things don't always go the way we pray they'll go. Moses is faced with a disappointing hour. Look at verse 13. He goes from a dark hour to a disappointing hour to a doubting hour. In verse 13 he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace You don't ever use that two-lettered word if unless you're unsure. If is a word of condition. He said, God, if you love us, if I have found grace, then why all of this? Lord, if those doubts begin to flood Moses' mind. I'm not talking about just some average Joe. Moses, the man who watched God part the sea. The man who watched God send the fires and the locusts. The man who watched God turn the water to blood. He's now using the word if. I'm going to tell you, life has a way of pushing us in the corners of if. I'm going to tell you, you don't come to this preacher and say, I've never doubted, because it shows you exactly where you're at. Because I'll promise you, behind all of that stuff, there's a lot of ifs in a room full of good Christian folks that are trying to do their best. You're saying, Lord, if you love me, then why did this happen? And God, if you're in control, then why did this happen? That's where Moses is at. He's reached that doubting hour. He's questioning the grace of God. And I'm ashamed to have to tell you this evening, it's happened. Life has pushed me into a corner. And I've had to look around and say, God, you said you loved me. Why is this going to take place? Moses has reached there. He's reached that doubting hour. He goes from that doubting hour, look in verse 15, to a desperate hour. In verse 15, he says to the Lord, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That's words from a desperate man. Moses is saying, God, I have had it up to here with putting the facade on. Lord, I'm done knowing how to do it. I know I preach to Baptists every week. Baptists know how to do it. They know just what to say. They know how much they can handle. They know how to get through the difficult times. But Moses has reached the pinnacle in his life where he says, God, if you don't do something, God, if you don't intervene, God, if you don't say, just take us away all right now, just kill us all. He's a desperate man. And may I say tonight this, if you and I reach a desperate place, it's a good place to be, because it's in that desperate hour when we throw up the white flag and say, God, I don't know how to pretend anymore. I don't know how to mix it up and put the dog and pony show on. He just might show up and do something miraculous. We use a lot of preaching. Moses is in a desperate hour, a doubting hour. Moses is in a discouraging hour. Pardon me. But I'm not so much as interested in the man Moses as I am and what God would have to say to a man who's reached that hour. I mean, because after all, we could be there before the sun goes down tonight. I'm interested, what would God say to a man who's questioning God's grace? What would the sovereign God of glory say to someone who is desperate? You'll find it in verses 19 and 20. With the Bible, this is what God said to this desperate man. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And here it is, verse 21. And the Lord said to a desperate, disappointed, doubting, discouraging man, there is a place by me. I want to preach for just a little while tonight. There is a place by me. God tells Moses, if that don't cure it, nothing's going to fix it. There ain't a book. There ain't a paycheck. There ain't a gospel tune. There isn't a county in the southern sunny state of Georgia that's going to fix all of those problems. He said, Moses, I've told you this. There is a place by me. I'm going to tell you tonight, number one, there's a place by Him tonight where the weary can get rest. When the weary can get rest. I'm glad tonight to report to you this. that that place when you just about had your belly full, or that place when you're wore out and tired and you just figured in throwing in the towel, I'm glad to report to you, Liberty Baptist Church, there's a place by a sovereign God where you can find your rest and get you strength for another day. We travel in a 45-foot antique motorhome. It's an MCI, pushed by an old Detroit diesel. I sold my home, left the church in good terms that I pastored, because the Lord told me to go out and preach. I was an evangelist. I think I was an evangelist before I pastored. Once I pastored, I realized I wasn't much of an evangelist. But I used to think going around telling everybody the way it was a preacher. But I realized after pastoring for a few years, that ain't preaching at all. Oh, but I would travel around in that thing, and there's times in my life where we get done with a 4-day revival, 3-day revival, or some Thursday night jubilee, and I get in the back of that old motorhome in some alleyway in some big city hearing gunshots and helicopters and people screaming. And me and the Lord begin to talk, and I say, God, what's the use? Why don't we just quit all this foolishness? Why don't we just stop and let me go back to living like a normal person? Why don't we just quit fussing around? Ain't nobody want revival. They don't want nothing to do with it. They want a little sermon, a little song, and they all want to go home. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of it all, He steps into that place where some weary Christian needs a good touch from a God of glory. And all of a sudden, I find myself getting back up and heading right back to the pulpit. I'm glad to report to you, weary mother, there's a place by Him tonight. Hey, weary dad, there is a place by Him tonight where you can get you some energy and strength. I'm going to tell you, you look around at this world, and it'll wear you down. Oh, it's a weary place for a Christian. I had a lady in a revival meeting after the service. I thought the pastor liked me until he said, Brother Jones, go in the back there and let folks shake your hands. And I thought he didn't see the woman that I saw and I asked myself, I used to hear all them big preachers say there was a woman. There's a woman. And I asked one old boy, I said, is there always a woman? Guess what? There's always a woman in every church. And I could tell when she laid her eyes on me, she was going to tell me everything I said wrong. And sure enough, she was the first one to come. And when she walked up to this, what she said? She said, Brother Jones, if I was a lost person and heard you preach, she said, I wouldn't want to get saved. That's what she said. She said, because you made it sound like the Christian life was some kind of a wrestling match. I thought, well, you can tell you ain't reading her Bible. She said, you made it sound, Brother Jones, like the Christian life was just a field full of sufferings. And boy, she really gave it to me. Started to walk away, and I said, ma'am. She looked at me, she said, what? I said, for your information, the Christian life is a wrestling match. And I don't mean to get in your business, lady, but the Christian life is full of suffering because there is a battle going on. I told her, I said, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And if you know anything about wrestling, it ain't a vacation. Boy, she stoned out of this. She never did come back for the rest of the week. We had ourselves a good meeting. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, the Christian life is weary. The Christian life can be a struggle and a wrestling match. But when I'm glad, when I'm tired, I'm glad when I'm weary and I think about quitting. I'm glad that there's a place by God where I can go to and tell God, God, please let me finish this race right. I tell you, Moses had reached that weary place in his life. Moses was fixing to throw in the towel. And God looked at him and said, listen, weary Christian, there's a place by me. I say this tonight, there's a place by Him where the weary can get rest. Number two, where the worrier can get settled. Moses became worried about a lot of things. Look at the text. He says in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. You look in verse 12. He said, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Here's his question, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses wants to know who he's going to send with them. He's like, Lord, you haven't told me it all yet. I don't know where you're at. That's the way I get. I don't like when God tells me one step at a time. It kind of makes me, I want to know the end, don't you? I want to know. I heard an old black preacher say this. If I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go there. That's just good business. Amen. That's smart. I mean, if I knew I was going to die in a Harley, I'd never buy a Harley. If I knew I was going to die in a tree stand shooting deer, I'd never go hunting again. But we don't know the end, do we? He doesn't tell us where we're going to die. Because God said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Each step is ordered by the Lord. Moses wants to know it all. And God said, I'm only giving you this much. I'll tell you, I'm glad that God told this worried Christian that there's a place by Him. I love it. I was preaching a meeting in Indiana during the Y2K in the heat of it. You know, he was saving water. This guy went out and bought 10, 15 gallon. Some of you are smiling like you've got the same thing going on there. But, I mean, he was buying water jugs. I mean, doomsday prepper. I mean, hiding water and them, one of them dry foods, them MRs. I mean, he had basement full of stuff. And I mean, he was thinking the end of the world. I mean, he almost had me digging tunnels from Michigan to here. I mean, I was thinking we're all going to die. Y2K, it's all going to be shut down. I can tell folks are looking at the carpet right now in a nervous wreck. But you know what? While they was doing all that stuff, telling me about all of the end of the world, somebody on the inside of me elbowed me and said, Jeff, I just thought I'd tell you that I'm still sovereign and I'm still sitting on the throne of this universe and there ain't nothing that's surprising me. There ain't nothing in this future that's ever going to give me ulcers. He said, I'm not taking Pepto-Bismol. He said, I'm not watching Oprah. He said, I know the beginning from the end. And I started to smile and save myself a whole bunch of good fishing money instead of buying all that stuff from Y2K. It'd be good tonight for those worried Christians to bring their burdens to the Lord and lay them down and tell the Lord, I don't know what to do about this, but I know You do. I tell you, we take that 45-foot motor home. I told you Georgia hasn't been good. First time I come to Georgia, we was just the other side of Macon. Some little church in the middle of nowhere. We come way off the highway. And I mean, we was driving that, and that bus is not light. It's good old-fashioned steel. I mean, that thing, I've got to make sure I don't go over the weight restrictions and stuff and height restrictions. But boy, we got there and the GPS said 1 mile to the church. Just 1 mile. I thought, thank You, Lord, I can't wait to get there and take off these tight shoes and these, you know, everything's getting tight with a preacher. But anyhow, you know, I just couldn't wait to get into my squishy clothes. And I got there and we got just almost to the church where it said 1 mile and the bridge said 24-ton. Weight restrictions. I thought, man, this is terrible. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, have you ever seen the Dukes of Hazzard? I said, you better buckle up. I said, because we're fixing to go over this bridge. Well, I put the pedal to the metal. I made that old Detroit start to scream and we hit the edge of that bridge. I closed my eyes, said three prayers. Boy, I tell you, we come across there. Room. Well, I thought, thank You, Jesus. Started to rejoice and then I got to thinking about bringing her back. I thought, boy, we's in trouble. I hope the Lord holds the same bridge up on the way back. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you things of this world can't take weight. It can't hold everything. But I'm glad that the God of the universe said, cast all your cares on Me because I care for you. You won't find no sign at the prayer room that says, too much weight, this is too much, I can't handle this. You can put it all on Him and He can take it all. I say there's a place where the worrier can get rid of all them worries. I tell my family, God don't have plan A because He don't need it. He's got plan B and it works out every single time. You say, preacher, haven't you seen all the political problems we're having? Yeah, I've seen them and so has he. He's done walked this pathway already. And he ain't nervous about any of it. Not one iota. He may not be happy about it, but he ain't a lick nervous. He's already been here. You can lay all them worries down tonight. You ain't got to carry them. Good Lord, we're not created to carry those burdens. He didn't make us to haul all that weight. I say bring them to the Lord. There's a place where the worrier can get settled. There's a place not only where the warrior can get settled, where the weary can get rest, but where the wanderer can find his way. Look in verse 13. He said, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, Moses came to a place where he didn't know which way to go. I'm pretty sure Moses wasn't a Baptist, because almost all the Baptists I know the way. I've been in enough prayer rooms already this month. And have you ever been in one of them prayer rooms where men are praying? And they pray all at the same time, you know. And those ones that they pray individually, you know, it seems like you're never going to get out of there because everybody's praying one at a time. And we've been in all where they all pray at the same time. And then we've been in those ones where we was in this one time. And this old boy stopped and said, "Lord, this is a good time to intervene." And I literally had to stop and look at him. I just thought, duh. Don't you think God knows when it's a great time to intervene? I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean? You're telling God that created the universe that's not even in time, it's a good time. Some of you are mad at me because you said that. But I'm going to tell you, He don't need our advice. He don't need our help figuring it out. He knows exactly when to step into a situation. You can be ruthlessly honest with God and He won't beat you up over it. I said, there's a place where the wanderer can find his way. Jeremiah 33:3. I've seen that thing everywhere. Literally tattooed. Now I've seen it tattooed on someone's arm. I've seen it stitched on pillows. I've seen it painted on walls. I've seen it slapped to the bumper sticker of a car. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Calling is not the key to Jeremiah 33:3. Answering is not the key to Jeremiah 33:3. It's not knowing. He said, if you call, I'll show you things which you know not. The problem is we know when He should do it, how He should do it, how long it'll take Him to do it. But He said, when you come to me, if you want an answer, you got to throw up your hands and say, "Lord, show me now thy way." You ain't got to lick your finger and check the breezes of popularity tonight. You ain't got to do everything that everybody wants you to like you. You can just tell God, which way do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I'm one of those crazy Baptists that hear voices in my head. I don't know if they told me that that's impossible, but there's someone living on the inside and He speaks to me. Sometimes He asks me to do things I wish He wouldn't, but He does. But I promise you tonight, you ain't getting no answer if you keep telling Him how He's going to do it. Moses said, "Lord, I'm tired of wandering. Lord, I'm tired of knowing my own way. Show me now thy way." I say this tonight, there's a place where the wanderer can find his way. There's a place not only where the wanderer can find his way, but where the weeper can find a shoulder. I'm going to tell you, I've got friends all over the place. Friends in Lebanon tonight. Got friends all... I'm glad God didn't call me to Lebanon. I've been dead already. Starting churches in Lebanon. Anybody want to call to Lebanon? I talked to him here a while back. He said he had missiles going over his house with his two little daughters on the balcony, watching missiles go over their house and hit a building over on the other side. I've got friends in Oklahoma, friends in Michigan, friends in Georgia, friends in the Carolinas. I got friends all... But you know, there's just some things you can't tell them people. You say, "Why not? They ain't good friends." No, they're people. I mean, if I was to get ruthlessly honest with my best friend tonight, there's a big chance there'd be a Facebook post about it in the morning. I mean, if I was just to be ruthlessly honest with the things that go through my mind, there'd be a... Did you hear what Brother Jones said was going, thinking in his mind? There'd be a YouTube PowerPoint presentation with gospel music in the background about what I was going through. You know why you can't tell everybody everything? Because they're people. But I'm glad there's a place by God where you can walk in there and be ruthlessly honest with God, and He won't beat you up over it. He'll never tell another soul. He won't remind you of your sorry self in the morning. He'll just let you put it on His shoulder. I'm going to tell you the text. Moses was ruthlessly honest with God. You talk about honesty. He told God, "See, you brought us out here. You're the one that told me to leave. And you haven't said it. Lord, if we..." You say, "I've never talked to God like that." I know you've got your little cliches. I know you impress God with your vocabulary, but He's just waiting for you to get ruthlessly honest with God. He's just waiting for you to finally start telling Him what's really in your heart. He's waiting for you to finally get desperate enough to say, God, I don't like this. Lord, I don't want no disrespect to You, God, but this is killing me. Instead, we get over there and say, well, we can handle it. Yeah, I'm sure you can, big boy. But sooner or later, more sooner than later, He's going to put something on you so bad, He's going to finally hear the truth from you. Oh, you better believe it, big boy. Pretty soon that thing's going to come and weigh you down so heavy. And it ain't because He doesn't love you. It's because He wants to hear your voice. He's tired of all that faking. He's tired of listening to all those cliches. What He wants is to hear what you really feeling like. I say there's a place where the weeper can find a shoulder. There's a place where you don't have to carry that burden. You can put it down on Him tonight. I say there's a place by Him. Before I go, and I'm done, I want to show you this and I'll be through. Look at what He said in verse 20. And He said, Thou canst not see My face, for there shall no man see Me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by Me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. He said, if you want to be on this place, if you want to get close to Me, you got to be on a rock. I like the English language, the King's language, because that little word, it's like He pointed to it. He said, Moses, there's a place where you can lay all your burdens down. Moses, there's a place where I'll take your burdens. You can give it to Me. He said, but if you want to be at that place, you got to be on that rock. He said, a single rock. I'm glad He did not say, church, the rocks. He said, you got to be on the rock. And I'm reminded what Jesus the rock said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by Me. I say tonight this, if you're not on the rock, you ain't got a place by Him. You got to go through this world all by yourself. You got to carry every last burden all by yourself. It's a single rock. I'm one of those whosoever's. It's a sizable rock. I believe all that come, He won't cast away. Plenty of room for everybody on this rock. All you got to do is come and He gladly put you on the rock. It's a single rock. It's a sizable rock. It's a steady rock. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The most stable thing we have in this world isn't your job. It isn't anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're standing on Him, you're standing on the unmovable, always abounding authority of the sovereign God of glory. God sent me here tonight to tell you this. There's a place by Him. And I'll promise you this, when you come, you won't be pushed off. It's a near place. Oh, He's much closer than you think. It's a never busy place. It's a necessary place. We cannot make it without getting there. I wonder tonight, are you weary? Mother, are you weary? Sir, are you tired? There's a place. Are you worried about a lot of things? It'd be good tonight to come put them at the feet of the One who can take it all. I'm going to ask my kids, preacher, be all right.